Welcome to the Entertainment Engine.
Welcome to the Entertainment Engine podcast. I'm Pete Moore.
And I'm Bex Gregory. This podcast was created by our company, Seamless Entertainment. We're providing in-depth advice and information for creatives pursuing a career in the entertainment industry.
It's a great passion of ours, and we're looking forward to sharing our knowledge with you all.
Each week, we'll be bringing our listeners some great entertainment facts and news, mixed in with special guest interviews from seasoned professionals who share their insight and experience of the business.
You can listen and subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms so you never miss an episode. And what a bonus, it's totally free.
If you would like to learn more about what we do, please visit our website at www.seamlessentertainment.co.uk. And now it's time for Pete to get started with this week's session on music festival and concert planning for budding event managers, creatives and promoters.
Welcome to the next episode of The Entertainment Engine. I hope everybody's keeping well and spring is on its way. So hopefully there's a bit more sunshine around the corner for us all. This episode, I'm going to touch on my favourite area and an area that I've worked in pretty much all my life in the music industry, which is the live sector, including festivals and concerts. So I thought I'd share with you quite a lot of tips, information, stuff that I've learned, do's and don'ts, how to move forward. So you've got a good guide and some idea of how to put a festival on and some of the pitfalls to avoid and how you can move forward. So how to put on a music festival. A lot of work goes into planning a music festival, from setting your goals to securing your team to making it all happen. Even more so this year, we'll require more planning and preparation to ensure that everyone has an amazing and safe experience at your festival. Here's a quick look at what will be covered in the podcast episode. Firstly, we'll take a look at COVID-19 public health and safety considerations. Then we'll look at executive summary, background and history, create goals for your festival, provide a solid festival budget, secure the festival venue, book your festival lineup and all vendors, your marketing and PR plan for your festival, coordinate on-site staff for your festival, fully plan out your festival schedule and no shortcuts, and finally, watch your festival planning over with time. COVID-19 has hugely impacted live events around the world, but with the approval and distribution of the COVID vaccines, light at the end of the tunnel is hopefully on its way. From the very start of planning for your festival, show or concert, you must stay informed on what the local public health officials require for all health and safety protocols at every stage. Try to create an open line of communication with all the relevant health officials as you plan your event and consider going above and beyond minimum health requirements to ensure the safety of your staff, volunteers, attendees and all the general public alike. This is paramount. Okay, let's look at an executive summary. The executive summary is a thorough yet sufficient overview of your event and acts as an introduction to both your festival and with you and your team, the event creator. It should be a minimum of 1 to 2 pages and will cover the following: what your event is and where, when it will take place, why you are planning this festival, concert or event, your festival's mission and overall objectives, how it benefits the local community, and your estimated income expenditure from year 1 to year 5 as a guide. Add full background and history. This gives you the opportunity to go more in depth about your event's history and your own background, including all experiences and event successes. Although if this is your first event, then the history is a bit limited, but you still need to provide all your background info on yourself and your team. Why do you want to plan a festival? What will it add to, not just your bank balance, but the people attending, the event sponsors, and the local community? Planning a festival is not for the faint-hearted, and this is your chance to show why you are fully committed to this process. If you've worked on any festivals in the past, include information, images, and all testimonials. you should also use the section to position your festival in the market accordingly. What is it you are bringing to the table that no one else has covered before? Really think hard and long about all of this before you actually put your toe in the water and start swimming. Okay, the next area we're going to look at today is creating solid goals for your festival. Before you start playing in a festival, it's essential to get solid goals for what success means for your festival. All these goals should serve providing you direction on what actions to take in your planning process to ensure your festival is a great success. A list of example goals to help you guide in your development process. Look to book your headliners and support acts. Look to become the premier summer event in that region. Provide the best festival experience possible for your consumers and implement above and beyond health and safety requirements. This is a must. Create great social media engagement, management and media coverage across all media verticals, including press, magazines, TV, radio, posters, flyers and street team. Then move on to nailing down specific goals, if this, of course, is an existing event. Then let's look at the following example. Increase your ticket sales by 25% compared to the following year. Reach up to 75% returning attendees from your previous years. Increase all food and beverage sales up to 50% and increase the number of performances by 20 to 30%. Regardless of your festival goals, it's really important to document them before you commence your planning process to ensure that everyone on the planning team has a clear idea what they are trying to achieve. Okay, the next area we're going to look at today is let us determine your festival's budget. Now that you have a better view of your festival goals, you need to start allocating a festival budget. There are a lot of moving parts for a festival that do need to be considered and budgeted. This is absolutely vital. Items you should consider: the venue you're considering and the full cost, talent costs, bands, artists, comedians, DJs, etc. The full catering and associated logistical costs, which will include staging, lighting, fencing, sanitary facility costs, how many people are going to be attending, what type of toilets you need, just the finer details you're going to need to go through, staffing, all volunteer management, security and stewards, health and safety measures, cleaning, barriers, COVID-19 procedures required by health officials, equipment rentals, generators, fencing, and marketing costs, posters, flyers, website, bus ads, TV, radio, who will do your PR and your press, will it be internal, will it be external? Looking at security and local authority permits, all passes for VIP, acts, security, promoters, team. There is so much that goes into planning a festival. Everything must be represented in your budget. Like anything else, it will be necessary to prioritise your budget spending based on your goals and the logistical requirements of running your festival, which will change over time, so you need to be on the ball for absolutely everything. Okay, the next area we're going to look at is finance, accounting, banking and private funds. Trust me, your festival isn't going to happen unless you've got the money behind you, a great accountant, a great attorney, and you've got the right banking requirements. This is a real difficult area to get right, and you're going to have to look down the road of presenting a full business plan, what that full business plan is actually going to need, why you're going to need it. That will determine the amount of funding you're going to need, where you're going to need it, where it's going to be allocated, and where it's going to come from. If you're looking at going down the banking route, that's going to be very, very difficult to pull off, especially the first few years, because obviously you've got to have a great track record. And looking at the banks of the way they are, it's going to be very difficult for you to extract funding to pay for your festival just based on that. So you're going to have to look at other alternatives. And this is going to have to come down to your own private money. What sort of money you're going to be putting in? What sort of money is your team behind you going to be able to put in? What sort of goodwill you're going to be able to have from the festival? Is the venue going to work with you and come in with you? Is the production going to work with you and come in with you? Is it going to be a share allocation? How is that going to work? If you're going down the private investment route, then you've got to really make sure that your team is A-grade and you're coming up to speed. And if you're looking to provide that private investor with substantial return, that's going to need to be followed in your business plan as well. And they are really going to be scrutinising your plan, your history, what you've done, where you've come from, why you're doing this now. What is the return going to be? When is the return going to be? Is it going to be 3 years? Is it going to be 5 years? My experience is that your festival is not going to wash its face until year three. You'll lose money year one, possibly break even year two, and then you can make a small profit year three, and then year four, five is where you actually make the money. But with anything, you're going to need to come with your A game. Depending on the level of the event you're going to be putting on, you're going to need a huge chunk of change to do this, and you're just going to have to do this professionally and properly, and get on board a good accountant as well to actually run through your numbers. Another little tip from me, don't rely on anyone to put your numbers together either. If you go out to an external person to put your numbers together and you sit in front of a private investor or bank manager and you cannot justify your numbers, they will show you the door very politely but very quickly because you don't understand your numbers. Make sure you understand your numbers. Make sure you understand why you're paying that artist, why you're paying that security company, what your production costs, and break out exactly where your break-even point is actually going to be coming, so you can clearly define this area. If you don't get this bit right, then forget about doing your festival, because it's just never going to happen. You have to really, really nail this side of it, whether you're experienced or whether you're coming into this for the first time. It is that important to achieve. Okay, that's all for part one. Now I'm over to Bex for the fact of the day.
Facts of the day. Let's get started with this week's fact. When a song gets stuck in our head, it's called an earworm. An earworm is also sometimes called a brainworm, sticky music, or stuck song syndrome, which refers to catchy music that continually repeats through a person's mind, even after it's no longer playing. There have been various studies done on earworms, including one out of the University of London, which found that earworms could also be triggered by experiences that then bring up a memory of a song, such as seeing a word that reminds you of that particular song just from hearing a few notes, or feeling an emotion that you associate with that particular song. Well, that's all for today's Fact of the Day, and now it's back over to Pete for the second part of Music Festival and Concert Planning.
And welcome back to this part two of How to Build a Festival. This next area we're going to look at today is insurance licensing structure. Now, this is a real area that I can't really say enough about. You're going to have to really concentrate on actually getting your insurance structure in place. I think it's vital, and especially what's happened in the last sort of 12 months, it's going to really determine whether your festival is going to happen or not, because you can get the investment, you could have the bank support you, you could have private money, you could have a sponsorship, all in place. But I think this is key, and I'm going to explain this a little bit more. First of all, you're going to have to look at public liability. So any event is going to have a public liability where you've got the public on site and, you know, you're liable for their safety. So that's point one. Point two is indemnity cover against anything that happens with bad weather, fire, flood. It's basically indemnifying you of what's actually happened at the festival, and obviously covers you for an awful lot structure moving forward. And the next point is non-appearance for the headliner and support act. Now, this might seem not alien, but maybe a little bit different, but I think it's a great insurance structure to have where, for example, your headline act may come, you know, may come down with not feeling very well, can't make the event, for whatever reason, your insurance cover will cover all of this. And on the really worst scenario, and I always try and paint a bad picture on this, because then it gives you the full sort of clear picture of, you know, what could happen. If you haven't got any insurance structure and you just, you know, again, flying by the seat of your pants, and you just have public liability with no indemnity cover and non-appearance cover, you're effectively liable for that whole event. So if you've just been given a really big investment from an investor, and you've got $1 million in the event, and it's all gone wrong because of bad weather, the main headline act hasn't turned up, you know, you've got fire, flood, everything, you've got a big problem. It'd be you that actually has to foot the bill, and potentially your team, to cover all the losses that festival's going to have. You have to give all the ticketing money back, and you're going to be left with a really huge bill and massive problem going forward. With the insurance structure, it just gives you that peace of mind where you can sleep at night. So going on the good side of it, your main act can't turn up, or they've not been very well and they've let you know and you've had to cancel the event. What that insurance will do is cover you for the next event. So effectively, it will cover you for the whole of the losses what you're looking to achieve, what happened, and it just gives you that peace of mind to be able to move forward and actually be able to sort of sleep at night really effectively. And I think that's really, really important. I just have a bit of a problem at the moment. I'm probably going to get on my soapbox a little bit about this, but I just have a, even though I want events to come back and I want the structure to be as solid as possible, and I want people to have a good time with, you know, live music, because that's what I've grown up on, and festivals, concerts, shows, I'm not sure it's really going to happen. I do think some festivals will happen this year, and I think they'll go ahead, and I think we'll go back in lockdown again. I think there'd be a big problem. I can't see how you can put 20,000 people in a field, 30,000 people in a field, no matter what structure, what policies you got in place. If someone's had too much to drink and they're wandering all over the place, how can you have a 2 metre structure with those people? I just got an issue with that. And I think the insurance market would have an issue with that as well. Hopefully I'm wrong on that, but I don't think I am. But I do think it's a very important thing to look at. And also with your licence as well. If you haven't got the right insurance structure, your local authority is not going to issue a licence. So they go hand in hand, really. So if you can't prove to the local authority that you've got your public liability, your indemnity cover, the non-appearance is a bit more specialised. But if you can't prove those two to the local authority, you're not going to get a licence. Your event's not going to happen anyway. And I think that they're key things to learn. And that is your first point of call. Even though you're putting a business plan together and you're looking at what you want to do, I would put the first call in to an insurance structure, because what that would also do is give you a peace of mind and also give you a clear idea of whether your event can go ahead and to what scale it can be done. Then you can have a conversation with the investor, sponsorship companies, and also be happy with your own money that you're putting in. Okay, now we're going to go on to securing a festival venue. Now that you've determined your budget, finance and insurance structure, it's time to get out there and secure your festival location or venue. A festival location or venue can really determine how the festival is perceived by attendees and performers. So it's vital that you pick a location that is accessible to your target demographic and it fits with the experiences you are trying to deliver. Finding the perfect location for your festival event is not easy either. To ensure your event is accessible to your target attendees and performers, consider the following. Is the venue accessible by public transport, and does it provide ample parking, good road access from all directions? Can your venue fit your current attendee numbers? Does it also have the capacity for your event to scale over the years? For example, year 1 to year 5, what does that look like? Does it have the required infrastructure, water, electricity, access, or do you need to build the site from scratch? Basically, is it just a field? Will you be able to bring in all the required vendors and equipment to the venue? Once you've found that perfect venue, you need to set a date, sign a contract, and stay within your budget, and make all payments on time. Don't forget, you also have to secure the necessary licenses and permits to hold the festival, what we just mentioned earlier. This should be in tandem with your local authority and licensing team. Okay, the next area is book your festival's lineup and vendors. Your lineup and all your vending planning is key. These decisions will determine what kind of experience your attendees will have at your festival, so it's crucial to get this right. Before you even begin making calls, you need to determine your key attendee demographic and what would motivate them to attend your festival. So for example, booking a hip hop artist for a pop music festival, this would be a total waste of time. Make sure you have a clear understanding of who you're planning for. Here's a quick list to help you start off your booking. Create a list desired of performers and entertainers and vendors. Wish list. Tip here, put a PowerPoint presentation together for artists, agents and managers. This will go a long way. Doesn't have to be a 50 page document, but just an outline of what you're looking to achieve with your executive summary. Start booking artists and entertainment with clear budgets and goals in mind. Build a festival schedule and fill in the gaps with innovative attractions and entertainment. You are creating that immersed festival experience. Food, wine, beer, soft drinks, family area, parking, friendly staff, great security, VIP areas. You also want a great transition when people leave the site as well. So you want them to be able to leave and have a great experience on leaving the site. Send all artists, agents and entertainment vendors the festival schedule and make edits as and when required. Keeping people up to speed is vital. This keeps you ahead of the game at all times. The next area today is build on your marketing plan for your festival. Once you have your main entertainment and venue booked, it's now time to get to work on marketing and full promotion for your festival and event. It's important to ensure you have a unique sales proposition in all your marketing messages. Basically, you should ensure your marketing hook that makes you stand out from all the competition and inspires people to action the right way so they don't miss out. Once you have the core messaging, you can start planning out your marketing and full PR strategy. There are so many marketing channels to choose from, it's up to you and determine what channels are best for you and your target audience. A few channels to consider. Pay-per-click, which is PPC advertisements. Data is king in today's world, and you now have the real target PPC advertising to reach your desired audience. Do not put all your eggs in one basket. Make sure to use a few channels like social media and Google. Social media campaigns, create hashtags and offer ticket contents and giveaways when users share your content. This is low cost and high reward when executed well. Influencers, sponsorship and giveaways. This marketing tactic can cause a lot of eye rolling, but if you select influencers who have the right target audience as followers, one post can bring a lot of ticket sales for you. Local media. Contact local press, radio stations, all local organisations, and extend your giveaways and paid promotions. Those who are local will be more likely to buy your tickets for your festival. Always keep the community in mind. Email marketing. It might be old-fashioned, but it really works. Reach out to your existing contacts from your previous years, offer them exclusive ticket deals and giveaways to get them excited for your festival travel. If this is your first year, then obviously I would look to go into a street team as well, leading up to the festival, where you can sort of look at t-shirts, stickers, flyers, work with local radio stations, you can engage them over the weekend. Street team is a really good way to actually sort of reach your community and actually talk to them on a daily basis. Now you have planned your marketing strategy, it's time to figure out your campaign and launch your dates. Fully plan your festival schedule. Now that your talent is all booked and all your staff are secured, it's time to look at the event schedule, logistics and the details that will come with it. Nailing your event schedule is an integral part of ensuring your attendees have a great experience while guaranteeing your food vendors and staff keep up with everything on site for the duration of the festival weekend. While you're drafting up your festival schedule, make sure to consider how people will move from actively to performance and how to ensure people can do it in a safe way. Event safety is a core component when considering your event schedule and logistics. I was always taught you can give me all the bad news, just don't give me surprises when it comes to all the logistics and planning. Post an online and many print maps of the site around the event. The map should mark all parking areas, toilet facilities, eating areas, exits and all other emergency exits. You must have an emergency plan mapped out as well, along with evacuation routes, emergency procedures and safety instructions. This will all be agreed prior to your festival. This is crucial. Your schedule can be used in your marketing efforts as well as to make sure you get up on the event website and social media. Your event schedule will give you people a detailed look at how great your event will be. Okay, the next point today is watch your festival planning and hard work pay off. Trust me, there's no more rewarding than wanting the whole festival planning and hard work and preparation which pays off. But, however, there are always last minute things that come up leading to the event on the day itself. You should always try and plan for those last minute issues as well. They will come up. A few last minute tasks to expect and plan for. Equipment relocation. Be ready to move barriers, tech equipment and even tents in the days leading up to the event. You need to be ready to adjust your festival plans for the requirements like weather, changing security concerns and all unexpected circumstances. Staff scheduling issues and no-shows. Make sure to overstaff your team and have the tool that allows you to monitor staff and volunteer attendance. You can also reallocate human resources when people do not show. Trust me, this will happen. Ensure security staff members are briefed and the security measures and want to check for all the check-in points as well. Remain flexible and over-prepared for what circumstances will come your way. And just looking at the conclusion and additional resources, Now that you have a better understanding of what it takes to plan a successful festival event, start setting your goals and planning for future event. Remember to develop clear vision and a guide, which will ensure you stay on track and deliver the exceptional event experience you are striving for. And just to sort of look back on as well, what I was saying, I'm going to sort of touch back on finance, banks, sponsorships and insurance. It's really, really imperative you look at these areas before you even start looking at a venue, you start looking at booking artists. You're going to need to get all those things really, really clear and focused. No money, no event. No insurance, no event. And I think it's going to be even more difficult this year with what's happened around the world with COVID and the pandemic. Yes, I know promoters are going to want to put things on and they're going to want to put many thousand people in the field and say it's all going to be all good. I'm not convinced of this. And for new promoters out there, if you think you're going to go and put on an event this year, then you really, really need to actually look at the structure and think, why are you really doing this? So the first point of call again for me would be talk to your insurance provider, talk to the bank, talk to your accountant and go and talk to an attorney and then look at your business plan. If you do those things first, then it will give you a more clear idea of actually where you're going to go and how the event is going to move forward. Plus, it gives you a lot more peace of mind and a better structure going forward. Well, that's all from me from this week. And now it's over to Bex for the question of the day.
So let's get started with this week's question. Which band recorded the theme song to the TV series Friends? If you think you know the answer, then please get in touch with us. You can do this by sending in your answer via voice message right from your phone for free. And this can be done via www.anchor.fm/entertainmentengine by clicking on the message button, or you can email us your answer to podcast@seamlessentertainment.co.uk for a chance to be featured on our show.
Well, that's all for today's episode of The Entertainment Engine, and thanks for listening.
Join us again next week when we welcome our next special guest on the show, Brad Dollar. Brad is an energising music producer, engineer and coach to creatives, an Oakland Bay Area native. He has been cultivating craft, art and community since his youth. Passionate about creating the conditions that allow music and people to grow, Brad has produced and engineered tracks with Bob Weir of The Grateful Dead, Malik Yusuf, who has worked with Beyonce, Kanye West, G-Eazy, Alphabet Rockers, who are Grammy nominated, and much, much more. As well as connected platforms like Amazon, MTV, Airbnb, and Jack Daniels to fresh content. Brad has also co-developed the non-profit music accelerator Zoo Labs, where he has coached over 300 musicians and dozens of music startups, helping align their art and business and their purpose.
Plus, we will have our question of the day and music and movie facts for our listeners.
It would be great to have your feedback on the show, so you can always drop us a message at any time. We would love to hear from you.
So make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favourite podcast platforms so you never miss an episode.
Thanks for listening to the show, and remember to all stay safe.
The Entertainment Engine.